Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, today's the final day of this 40 days of fasting and prayer emphasis that we've had here at New Life. This is the final day, and I just want to, and you'll hear more about this as the Sundays roll by, but I don't want you to think that the prayer and fasting emphasis just goes away. You'll hear about a day each week where we're going to encourage it to be a day of fasting and prayer for this whole church. And so you'll hear a little bit about that as we continue to just develop that into a personal and church discipline, our walk with the Lord, to look at this particular day in the week. And if you can fast a meal and pray more or read more or whatever that is, or fast for the day, and we can just continue to allow that spiritual discipline, that biblical principle, to become a part of our walk with the Lord personally and as a church. And so just continue to hear some good reports of what this has meant for people, and we'll continue to see the fruit from that as the days go by. So if you haven't been a part or participated in the last 40 days in that way, I want you to know you're still going to have your opportunity. And so I'll share a little bit about that in the upcoming Sunday or two. This morning I want us to just be reminded, I guess. Just going to share a couple of verses with us. But I want to start out this way. You know, there are different places throughout the scripture where it kind of talks about and indicates that God's people are like sheep. You know, it's like Isaiah where it says, we all like sheep have gone astray, each one of us to our own way. You can look in the Old Testament, other verses. You can look in the New Testament where Jesus tells a story about the good shepherd, you know, had 100 sheep, one's lost. And he takes the 99 up onto a place on a hill where they would be safe, and he goes out and he seeks for the one that's lost. How do sheep get lost, I guess, is the question, and I am not a sheep farmer, shepherd, but, you know, I kind of think that sheep get lost one clump of grass at a time, you know, heads down, eating. Oh, there's a clump of grass. There's a clump of grass. They get a little distracted. They probably pop their head up and still see other sheep and can see where the barn is or the fence line or whatever, and they just eat, and before you know it, they start to distance themselves a little more and certainly get lost. And I watched this happen, you know, in my own life in the past. I've watched it in other people's lives where, you know, we're just not as close to the shepherd as maybe we once were. And we just kind of get lost one clump of grass at a time. I don't know too often that, you know, one little thing happens and somebody just gets lost. It's little by little. You know, I remember back when we lived in Bloomington, Minnesota, Sue and I with, you know, four kids from the youngest to the oldest, you know, 4.5 years apart. And I know for some, you struggle just having two kids, and those who have like 12, you think, four, you know. But four little kids and lived in Bloomington, and of course, Minnesota, winter's like, you know, 8 months long, you know, so you try to find something to do. Well, the Mall of America was, you know, a couple blocks away from our house. And walk around and, you know, your head's on a swivel. I mean, it's just, you know, there's people everywhere. You got your children, and you want to walk around and, you know, treat them to an ice cream or something or whatever it is. And, you know, they're by you. You see them. Your head's on a swivel. They see you. Next thing you know, you're down to three. Or they see something. They're gone to look at it. And you as a parent, you want to teach them a lesson. And so you kind of keep, you know, the other three with mom. And I hide a little bit. But I'm watching them. And they get distracted. And it's, they see this. And then they see that. And what about this? And over, and all of a sudden they decide to look up and realize, where's my family? And panic strikes their face, their little heart. And so I'd come back in 2 days and get them. No, I'm kidding. No. You watch it. You want them to know the, hey, the disassociation, the lostness, the, hey, I need to pay attention to mom and to dad and to the family. And I think there's a lesson for it in that for all of us. The association with the family. Who do you know that maybe has started to disconnect from the family? This family. They slowly just get busy, or a hard time comes, or they get a challenge, or they lost a job and they got to try to find something, and they're picking up some part-time jobs, and you know they maybe can't, you know, drive in, and expenses are different, or something in their life unfolded that they didn't anticipate, or something from their past caught up with them, and they're just kind of, you know, struggling in their faith, and they, you know, miss a Sunday, or they miss a midweek, or they didn't come to an event, or you just haven't seen them, or you used to talk to them more, and now they just kind of slowly, one clump of grass at a time. I don't know, maybe it's you this morning. It's not like you intended it, but something happens. Maybe something hurtful happened. Something disappointing happened after that. Another trial, another test. You maybe you're disappointed in yourself, and just one thing after the other has just distanced you. Or maybe it hasn't distanced you, but you recognize there's been a couple of things that have happened, and if you're not careful, you're going to get out to the fringe. You're going to get a little lost. And I know, you know, we all kind of do this. Oh, I can handle it. I'm okay. You know, I'll deal with it on my own. I'll figure it out. I'm a big boy. I'm a tough guy. I'm a, you know, weak, all that stuff. And it's just one little clump of grass at a time. And all of a sudden, we recognize that we're quite a ways away from where we need to be. I want us to pay attention to that in our life. I have to pay attention to that in my life. You know, remove the title of pastor. We're just people. Take our titles away. We're just people. Made by the Creator who cares for us. And our titles will not bring us home. It's about staying in relationship with the shepherd. And we can get busy with church stuff, and we can be around other people or around the sheep, but we got to keep our eye on the shepherd. You know, if you're the one this morning that maybe, I don't know, maybe you're here and you just feel like you've gotten a little far away, somehow, some way that got tangled up in the briars of life and just, you never intended it, but they've kind of wrapped you up and you keep coping, but you're just not where you know maybe you should be. Listen, we all hit that place, and we all got to keep an eye on this in our life. I'm not immune to this. Neither are you. Every once in a while, we got to take a look at where am I supposed to be walking and who am I supposed to be with and who am I supposed to be keeping my eye on? Because let's face it, we can allow this life to be so busy. You know, interesting thing is written in Proverbs chapter 30. It's verse 7. And the writer, he says there's two things, he's talking to the Lord, two things I ask of you. And I read that and I think, man, you know, if it got down to two things that I had to ask of the Lord, what would they be? And, you know, right away you might want to say, I know what they are. But I've done that in my mind and I thought, oh, wait a minute, I'd like to change that. I'd like to change that. Here he is and he writes, he says, two things that I'd like to ask you, Lord. Two things. Two things before I die, I ask that you don't deny me of. Here's the first one. I ask that you would remove far from me falsehood and lying. I don't know, did that make your list of two? You know, he just says, before I die, make lying and falsehood, make it far from me, that it doesn't come out of my mouth, it's not a part of me. I ask that you just remove this from me and watch over me and help me to do what's right, speak what's right. And here's the second thing, and this is interesting. This is where I want us to hang our hat for a moment in connection to this whole idea of kind of getting lost one clump of grass at a time. He says, give me neither poverty or riches. Now, I don't know what your prayers are between you and the Lord when it comes to, you know, having resources or money or those things. But this writer, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, says, don't give me poverty and don't give me riches. And you think, why would he say that? And then he reveals it to us. He says, feed me with food that is needful for me, unless I be full. In other words, riches, abundance. He says, I want you to take care of me every day, Lord. I want to have enough. But he says, from his perspective, somewhere in life he's watched this or in other people or he's felt the temptation himself or he looked at the history of God's people, and we'll take a glance there in just a moment of one case. But he says, lest I be full and I deny you or forget about you. In other words, everything's kind of bountiful in my life and I look more to my resources and I don't have to worry about much in the practical sense. And Lord, I can just kind of think I've got it all. Life's good. Life's good enough. And forget about you. On the other hand, he says, I don't want you to allow me to be poor so that I, basically so that he would compromise. And he says, so I don't want to be poor. Don't let me be poor so that I would steal and profane your name. Don't give me so much that I say, who is the Lord? And don't give me so little that I will profane your name. I'll misrepresent you because I'll steal. It's interesting how we as humanity can be driven by our desires or our needs to compromise who we're supposed to be in the Lord. And the writer recognizes this about himself. He says, don't give me so much that there's the temptation that I would forget about you. that I'd kind of roll through my day. As if the relationship with God is only need-based. In other words, if I need something, I cry out. Let's face it. You know, we hit a hard time. We don't know what to do. We can't figure it out. You know, I've seen it in my own life. I've watched it in others, you know, because they come and make an appointment with the pastor. And nothing wrong with that. Need somebody to talk to or share with or pray with or whatever it is. But I watch it. All of a sudden, something turns our world kind of upside down, and all of a sudden, oh God. The writer, he sees that. He says, and I don't want to be so wealthy that I forget to call out to him. And he's saying that our relationship with God shouldn't be just need-based. I mean, we need a Savior. We need him for everything in this life. In him is our being. We know the scripture. But at the same token, our connection with God should be out of relationship with him. Driven by relationship, not just I'm desperate or I have a need. But to be able to walk with him as one who follows him, whether the circumstances seem to be stacked against us, or whether things seem to be easy, or whether we have enough or an abundance, or whether we feel we have too little and we're struggling. That our relationship with him should be just that, a relationship. Not just based on need. Interesting thing to say, Lord, my needs are so great and my desires drive can be so difficult that I can compromise the person I'm supposed to be and profane your name that I could steal. I could take what doesn't belong to me. I could break your commands. I could go against your word. And I watch this can happen, you know, one clump of grass at a time, you know. I mean, do you remember the days maybe where you did a little something outside the lines, had a little guilt, wasn't feeling real great about it. You became a little paranoid, like who knows or who's going to find out or did my mom find out? Did my dad find out? Did the teacher know? We can go through the list. Does the boss know? And it's like nobody saw, nobody noticed, nobody said anything. And you get a little relief. And you step over the line again. And seemingly it's like we got away with it. The only one who knows is maybe yourself and God, and well, you know, God's out there wherever, and it's not real personal, and he didn't seem like he's real mad at me, and, you know, and we step outside the line somewhere else in our life. We go a little further, and it's just one clump of grass at a time, and we start to develop this new pattern and this somehow this new philosophy that, you know, this is acceptable and this is okay, and before you know it, we've distanced ourselves over a time. Come to a place where you say, well, I can fix it, or I'll take care of it, or I'll deal with it another day. I'm busy today. I got this going on. We got all these clumps of grass around us we got to eat and take care of and, you know, involve ourselves with. And I said this at a funeral recently. And it's a quote from somebody else, but it goes like this. You know the problem with time? We think we have it. Time runs out. And I should have. I should have. I should have. I should have. I can give you an example this morning. Something that I wanted to do about 3 weeks ago. For somebody else, they don't live here. It's nothing I promised them. It's nothing that they've asked for. It's a friend of mine who does not know the Lord. There's a book that I've been wanting to send him. I've been wanting to do it. but I've been busy with clumps of grass. And time is, you know, going by. I can't get the last 3 weeks back. But I've been wanting to order this book and send it to him with just a little note, because he's a reader. He likes to read. And the reason I was reminded of this is that he had a surgery about a month ago or so. And I didn't find out about it until about 3 weeks ago. And he's going to recover, and he's going through this, and I know he's going to spend some time probably reading. I thought, I need to do this. I haven't done it yet. I just kind of determined that within me. It's not like I broke a promise, but you know, this morning on the way to this building, that ran across my mind. I thought, I got to get that done now. He doesn't know the Lord. He had surgery, had something in his body removed because of cancer. I need to take care of that. I need to pay attention. Who am I staying close to? Who am I watching? Who am I listening to? Where am I in relationship to the Lord? Because time starts to slip away with these one clumps of grass at a time. And we find ourselves stepping out of bounds, and now it's the new pattern. It's the, you know, the cattle have found the hole in the fence. Right? You ever mend fence? Come on, we live in a farming area. Some of you ever mend fence? Yeah. I've even done it with the fellow over here. Well, not with him. He said, go fix that, and he sat there. And after I'm done with wires in my hands, he said, oh, by the way, I had a tool for that. I'm kidding. It's my buddy Aaron. They find a hole in the fence. If you and I slip through a hole in the fence in our life somewhere, here's the great news. He knows how to come after us. You and I just being here this morning, and that we wouldn't forget the Lord. We would remember that He's the Good Shepherd. He knows how to go out and get a hold of Sean. And it's not like Sean's lost, but you know, I don't know his week this last week. I don't know his conviction between him and the Lord. I don't know what he's carrying. But he's here this morning to hear the reminder. The reminder to you and I. Saying, hey, don't get too far. I'm moving this way now. And you're over there. Can you hear my voice? Can you and I hear his voice this morning? You see, there's been this recent prayer that has risen kind of to the surface in just my life when I pray for you and I together. And when I say I pray for the church, it's not like, well, I'm praying for these people and it doesn't include me. Oh, no, 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 no. He's the head. We're the body. And I pray for you and I. And the prayer in recent days has been that our convenience and our preferences and our recreation and our time, that all of those things would be at the mercy of our thirst and our hunger and our commitment to God and to God's people. Instead of what we see. That God, He's always there, and so He's optional. I don't have to go and be with God's people or fellowship with them or connect with them or, you know, encourage somebody or listen to somebody else or stay in relationship. You know, that's fine, but that's optional. I want to go recreate. I want to go do this. This is, you know, church isn't convenient, or the Bible study isn't convenient, or going to check on somebody who maybe is wandering, or I haven't, you know, maybe they're disconnecting a little bit. They're distancing themselves. Maybe there's somebody we don't know that needs a book that God might use, that we need to send. That's me. Instead of those things that are important being at the mercy of what we want to do, but the things that we want to do would be at the mercy of our commitment to God and to God's people and to loving others who maybe don't know Him. Because our convenience, our recreation, our comfort, our time, whatever, all of those can be just clumps of grass. And they just slowly, we just look and we follow the clumps of grass and we get further, little by little, a little bit more. And this becomes a new pattern and we grow comfortable with it. And when we stop and look and allow the Holy Spirit to search my heart, search your heart, and say, you know what? I need to let some things go. I need to let go of the clump of bitterness or resentment or insecurity or let my pride go. I need to humble myself. I need to think of others. I need to, whatever it is, those things bring us back to where we need to be. I know that we can count on the Good Shepherd to come and rescue us. But I don't want to continually live on the, hey, you're the Good Shepherd, come rescue me, when I know that I have been called to hear His voice and follow after Him. You know, I've had, well, several bird dogs in my very young life. you know, hunt woodcock, grouse, and pheasants mostly. And, you know, you train them and you work with them and all of that. And, you know, when you're starting out, you want that dog to, well, even as time goes on, you want that dog to listen to you. But something happens if you really want to get birds. And I discovered this after kind of training them after a few years. My idea about this changed. Because, you know, I can come up to a slough or a field or a combination of a slough and a field and crops or, you know, little ditches and briars and tangled up alders and all this kind of stuff, depending on the kind of bird you're hunting. I can come up to this stuff and think, you know, I think this is where we need to go and I think that's where the birds are going to be. And this is, you know, and so I get out with my dog, and I say, let's go, and we want to go this way. And I used to get so frustrated. Dog, get over here. Get over here. Get over here. The birds are over here. Get over here. I learned something when I'm bird hunting with a good bird dog. And I've been very grateful. I've had more good or exceptional bird dogs than a man should ever have had. I should have had, like everybody else, probably a few more mediocre ones, but I've been blessed that way. And I discovered something when we're out there. His nose is better than mine. You want to get birds? I discovered this. You get him to the general location. After that point, he's the shepherd. I don't care that this looks good to my natural eye. And I don't care that I've got, you know, decades of experience of kind of where birds are going to be. And sometimes I can be right, but we'll make our way over there. Right now, if I want to get birds, I better follow my dog. Because I've had the battles of, I am not following him. He needs to hunt with me, and I can be over here and walking and not flushing a bird, not seeing a bird, and he can be 100 and 150 yards away, and his beeper's going off, and he's on point, and now I got to run over there to catch up with him. Or back in the day of flushing birds, he's over there, and he won't come by me, and if I'd have stayed with him, I'd have got a chance to shoot a couple of those birds that he just put up. I learned. I want to get birds. I better stay with my dog. Now, over the years, I've had to tell him to slow down a bit. In the young days, grab the shotgun and start trucking. Yeah. It's a parallel to my walk with the Lord. I need to stay with him, and I need to follow him. And I can think I have some good ideas and some things figured out. And through time and experience, he allows us to learn and grow that way, and I'm grateful. But if I want to get to where I need to be, I need to stay with him. I need to follow him, and I can't be distracted by one clump at a time. I have taken my eyes off that dog and thought, well, I'm just going to, he's over here, but I got to get over here to this spot. Next thing I know, I'm a long ways away from him. I can barely hear his beeper collar. If you don't hunt with pointing dogs, you maybe don't know what that is. There's a collar they wear that you can set that it beeps, or you can make it silent, that it only beeps when they go on point. Pointing a bird. And most of the time it's not sight pointing. They smell that bird. They know they're close. And so this beeper goes off because, you know, my dogs aren't taller than the cattails or the prairie grass or the thickets or whatever it is. And you know what? They're a long ways off. I hate letting those birds get away. And now, I hate trying to sprint 200 yards through cattails in a slough for an overweight man who, you know, running is not part of my deal anymore. I got to learn to listen and to keep an eye on him. Knowing that I'm in proximity and I haven't distanced myself from him. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, each one to our own way, one clump of grass at a time. I don't know where you're at with the Lord. I just know where I'm at. And I know that I can still get closer to him. I can still listen a little better. Or I could still listen the first time he tells me something. Or I could keep a better eye on what he's calling me to do, or keeping an eye on his word in my life. We all probably feel the temptation to wander a little at times. But I want to encourage you this morning, wherever you're at, you could probably be a little closer. And this isn't a way of condemning. These are words of life to me. These are words of life that he gives us to remind us to continue to follow him and stay close to him. And I don't know what has caused you to maybe be a little more distant, or maybe you haven't been close to him for years because some things have unfolded or happened somewhere. And you think maybe in your pride or arrogance you're going to prove a point. You're not proving anything other than you're just staying away and you're going to lose out. And that's not his plan or hope for you or purpose for you. Maybe too many things have stacked up over time. Maybe you just feel kind of lost. I want to encourage you, encourage myself, that my commitment to the Lord and to being with God's people and caring for those who maybe don't know Him, but to stay in that mode and that closeness, that the other things in my life would be at the mercy of that priority. To stay close to the Lord, do the things that I should be doing, and not allowing clumps of grass to distract me, keep carrying me away. Maybe this morning you hear these words and you think, you know, I really need to renew my commitment to the Lord. I've been busy eating the clumps of grass for too long, and I'm too far from Him, and I need to get back. Maybe for you, maybe it's things you're saying. You feel close to the Lord, but some of the things that come out of your mouth has just been one clump of grass. These words, one phrase, the way you treat people, whatever, it just kind of led you to be distant from who the Lord's calling you to be. However it applies to you, I want you to know that there's grace and mercy for people like us. If you can have grace and mercy on me, He's got plenty for you too.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.